Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Warren Hoyt. Glad to be with you again. I haven't done any podcasts or videos for quite a while because I've been really busy with my master's degree work, doing a lot of studies and a lot of typing, reading, and so on. I've just completed a course of theology and another course on medieval Christianity, church history. Really fascinating. I hope I'll get to share some of that with you as time goes on. Today, what I'd like to do, though, is start a little series of podcasts on a book by Pastor Timothy Keller and his latest book, which is called Making Sense of God. Some of you that we've been in church together, you've heard me teach through another one of his books, The Reason for God. I taught through that book, I think, three different times. Timothy Keller's a pastor who started a church in Manhattan, and he built a large congregation of over 5,000 people. I think that he's very effective in how he communicates with people of our times, our generation. He just has a good way of making things relevant and explaining things in a way that makes sense to people of our generation. And this book here is his latest, and he says that this one is called, the subtitle is An Invitation to the Skeptical. And he says that when he wrote The Reason for God, that was really a good book for a lot of people. But he said he needs to take a few steps back and begin with stuff that's even more basic than he talked about in that book. To show people who are skeptical why they should even consider Christianity at all. Because he says, you know, a lot of people, if they're interested, they like The Reason for God. But a lot of people just are not interested at all. They don't see any reason why anybody would want to study anything about the gospel or the Christian view of things. So this book is meant to be an answer to skeptics, and it's meant to try to show why it's important to study these things. So what I want to do is today, I just want to give you a sort of an overview of what the book's about. And then I'm going to do sort of little short vignettes where I'll talk about some of the main points he brings out in the book. And I don't know how many there'll be of these, but I'll just do probably six or eight. So today I just want to tell you a little bit about what's in his preface. He starts off in this book same way as he did in The Reason for God by making the point that a whole lot of people today believe that religion's dying out and secularism is growing. And so he wants to talk about that. And of course, the first thing he does, he explains secular, what the word secular means. It has to do with the Latin word for time. And but there's really kind of three well-accepted definitions of it. First, it can have to do with the separation of church and state, that no religion should be privileged by the government. So if you talk about a secular state, that's what you mean. Not that religion's outlawed or that nobody's religious, but just that, you know, you don't have government mandating a religion. The second definition of secular is a secular person. That's the idea of a person who's kind of agnostic regarding God. And they generally tend to believe that only scientifically provable knowledge is real or should be accepted. And then there's the third definition, that when you talk about a secular age, that's an age where the emphasis is all on the here and now, nothing eternal. And so he says, you know, this is important to define these things because sometimes people misunderstand what we're talking about when we talk about being secular. And he says, you know, for example, you could have a lot of religious people in a society that believes in the separation of church and state. It just doesn't have the government involved. And so, you know, I myself believe in that. A lot of us Christians believe in that. We want the separation of church and state. We're just, but that, using the term in that way, it just means you don't privilege one religion over another. And likewise, Tim Keller says, you could also have people in a society where a whole lot of them say they are religious, but the practical way in which they live their lives, it's not really guided by the religion. They make their main decisions in life based on personal happiness, not based on what their religion teaches. So those kind of people would say they're religious, but they're really more secular. And so, we're not talking about having the religion govern, rule the state. I just studied a lot about that in medieval history, and it was a bad idea, and it went poorly. But we do feel that it's bad that we get to a secular age where people don't care about things that are eternal and transcendent and so on. Now, he's going to deal in this book with certain things, certain accepted notions. One is that people who believe in religion, they just accept it by faith and not fact. And by that, they mean, you know, religious people believe in things that you can't prove. They just believe them because their parents believed them, or their society believes them, or they believe them because they make them feel good. And it doesn't matter if there's any basis for truth in them at all. And a whole lot of people think that religion is like that. It's just by faith. There's no facts to it. There's no basis in fact. And secular thinking, on the other hand, is thought to be factually based. And people say, you know, we're secular, we're not religious, because we only believe in facts. And so facts are true, and you don't need any faith. What Keller does in this book is that he challenges these kinds of commonly held notions. And he shows that all people, really, secular or religious, end up embracing their worldviews not just on the basis of reason, not by any means. Now, people come to their beliefs and their worldviews through a real complicated mix of factors, rational, emotional, cultural, social. So he's going to deal with that. He's going to show that religion isn't by any means disappearing either. People think it's going to go out of style, it's going to disappear. No, studies don't prove that. And then he's going to show also that secular thinking isn't just based on facts, as its proponents affirm. It's also a belief system that requires faith. And a lot of people, you know, react to that. Faith, we don't have to have faith. We believe in facts. But wait till you look at his definition for faith, because it's really similar to what Dr. Frank Turek says in his book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. People say, faith to be an atheist. You don't need faith to be an atheist. But Dr. Turek shows you that, yeah, you do. Faith just means that there's certain things you trust that are true, and you base your life on them, and you don't realize that is faith. And so what Keller does in this book is he's going to compare the system of Christianity with secularism, and he's going to show that secularists have a faith too. They have a belief system to cope with life, and a belief system that affects how they look at different areas of life. And what Keller's going to do in this book is he's going to compare the two systems. He's going to show what Christianity says about different challenges of life, different areas of life. And he's going to contrast that with what the secular sort of teaching or belief system would be about those areas or those challenges. And so in the subsequent chapters that I'm going to deal with here and go over briefly, he will look at how the two systems address the following issues: meaning, satisfaction, freedom, identity, a moral compass, and hope, all of which are things that are just so crucial we can't really live without them. And Keller argues that Christianity makes the most emotional and cultural sense. And he believes it explains these life issues in the best ways and offers the best resources for meeting those needs. He says there are lots of beliefs our culture presses upon us to the point that they're absorbed unconsciously and thought to be simply, quote, like the little mice said in the movie Babe, the way things are, unquote. But he says, you know, we accept that these are the way things are. But, and even a lot of Christians do that without realizing they're not the way things are. They're beliefs and they're not facts. And let me just list some of those beliefs that he addresses in the book. You don't need to believe in God to have a full life of meaning, hope, and satisfaction. Second, you should be free to live as you see fit as long as you don't harm others. Third, you become yourself when you're true to your deepest desires and dreams. Fourth, you don't need to believe in God to have a basis for moral values and human rights. And fifth, there's little or no evidence for the existence of God or the truth of Christianity. These are beliefs that people have without realizing they're not based in fact. The point is, and what Keller's going to show, is that we need to examine what we assume to be true to make sure that we're basing our lives on reality. Many things we take as factual or anything but. And Christian faith is not non-factual. It isn't a blind leap. It's actually the most reasonable way to look at life and live it out. Hope you'll stick with me as I go through these chapters of this book, or else just get the book yourself, Making Sense of God by Dr. Timothy Keller. It is a good one. I can recommend it.